All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Breaking the Mold podcast. I am joined today with the legend of the trades, Mr. Rob Roy of Rob Roy Mechanical. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
You are a legend. I don't know if you know that.
I try not to think about that.
You
just do what I do.
We have known each other for a while. Yes. We worked together at Heritage. We have, some history. I know you as the liner king.
Yes, I did a lot of liners.
Because back then you did, it was like, if there was a liner job, it was, you're sending Rob.
Yes.
You're sending Rob. And what also you were known for, and still to this day, is technical support.
Yes.
You are very technical. You know what to do. You are the go-to for anyone. I'm sure that you have people, not only your technicians, but people in other businesses and other plumbing and heating companies still calling you to this day for some tips.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I'm happy to help.
Yeah. And I love that.
Vice versa, because I reach out to people as well. It's not a one-way street.
Yes. And which I love that about you. I've always loved that about you. You are always willing to help. There's not a huge competition between you and other plumbing and heating companies. And that's something I'm passionate about as well. And I know you are, right? There's enough customers for everybody.
Exactly.
Right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Rob Roy Mechanical, when it was founded, what you guys are doing over there right now?
So I want to say about 4 years ago now, we started the company just because we wanted to take a different approach on the plumbing and heating, kind of more of a technology-based approach, doing things to a different standard, if you will.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that, just like a different standard?
So we try and use like the latest equipment and technology. So we're doing like an AC install, for example, we're using digital micron gauges that connect wirelessly to your cell phone and gives you a PDF report. So there's no fudging the numbers. Mm. So you're not just like, oh, run the pump for a couple hours and it should be good. We have verified information.
Yeah.
That we can show to manufacturers on the warranty claim, homeowners, if they understand what they're looking at, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And that's important to you. I know that you love getting your hands into new technology. I know you love learning new things. With you being the kind of person that just loves learning new things, loves training, loves having new equipment, loves, trying new things and stuff like that. You're not afraid of trying something new that's coming out in the industry and stuff like that. Kind of give me a little bit of background from you. Like, how did you at the very, very beginning? I mean, I don't know how old you are, so maybe not go too far back, but how did you even get into plumbing?
Okay, so that's a funny story. I bought a house and I had no heat one morning. So I went down to the boiler. There was a bad circulator pump. I changed the pump and I didn't know how to purge the boiler.
Hmm.
So I decided to learn how to purge the boiler and okay. Just never stopped from there.
How did you learn how to purge the boiler?
I believe I went online. This was probably even a little bit before YouTube.
Oh man, you're aging yourself, dude.
Did a little bit of research, kind of looked over the system and like the valves and kind of made sense. I'm like, okay, I think if I do this, it'll work. And it did.
Yeah.
I've always been mechanical. I worked on cars.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took that heating application and just ran with it.
That's awesome. So do you think you got more into the HVAC side of things before plumbing, or does that kind of consist because you're working with water that you like got right into plumbing?
I never wanted to get into plumbing.
You never wanted to get into plumbing.
Nope,
you wanted to do HVAC?
Goal. Correct.
So how long did you do HVAC before getting into plumbing?
I didn't. I went to school for HVAC.
Yeah.
And then I went to Heritage for a job.
Yeah.
And what wound up happening is because of the liners and I was so good at that, I went down to the plumbing side so I could learn to do plumbing.
Yeah.
But no regrets.
No joke. You were the liner king.
Yeah.
If there was a liner or main drain problem, you were the guy. You dealt with a lot of poop.
Yes.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
It's very technical, and I guess that's where I did well, is I like the technical side of it.
Yeah, I mean, even with selling liners, there's also a sales aspect to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's great about you and what I've seen working with you, right, because you and I work together now, I handle your marketing and stuff like that. I still consistently see how you educate homeowners,
correct.
Right? So I think that is why you were the one to go out and quote these bigger projects, right, that people probably didn't want to spend the money on, but needed it and needed to have a new liner and stuff like that. And I think you were so good at it because you weren't like a sleazy car salesman, right? You actually educated the customer in their terms too, right? You didn't overcomplicate things. You basically broke it down for the homeowner so they knew exactly what you were doing, how much it was going to cost, you know, the whole aspect of what you're going to be doing and stuff like that. So you always have done, even to this day, a phenomenal job with explaining to homeowners exactly what you're doing and educating them as well.
I think that's the important part, is education.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Nobody wants to spend money on their sewer system that they're never...
Yeah.
It worked before. They spent a bunch of money. It works again. It's not like TV.
Yeah.
Where you get some kind of enjoyment out of it, like to show people, hey, look, I got a new TV.
Yes.
So it definitely requires a different approach. And it's more about education. Absolutely.
Yeah. No one's going out and digging up their main line and be like, look at this new line I have here. Isn't it phenomenal? Or they just leave it uncovered and just put like a piece of glass over it to just like show off to the world. Yeah. You know, no one's showing off their plumbing. So yeah, you're 100% right.
We'd probably be friends by now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be a phenomenal place to visit.
Yes.
So at Rob Roy Mechanical, well, let's go back to your journey. So you started off at Heritage. You started doing a little bit more plumbing and stuff like that. You went to another well-known, you know, plumbing and heating company. What drove you to start and found basically, you know, Rob Roy Mechanical?
Probably just so I could do and learn more.
Yeah.
Because when I left Heritage, went to the other company, I did a lot more HVAC there. I was very much plumbing at the first company.
Yeah.
So when I went to the next company, I got to do a lot more HVAC.
Mm.
And I just, the more I can do and the more I learn, that's why I started this company. And now we're getting into geothermal shortly. We're going to do some ground source. And
that's big. Not a lot of people mess around with geothermal.
Right.
Why do you think that is?
Probably the scary, like unknown of it.
Mm.
It is more expensive up front.
Yeah.
So I think people might just stop at that point. So
how long have you been looking into geothermal?
Right now, only about a month.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fresh.
Yeah. But like I said before, you don't shy away from learning something new.
No.
And you don't, I think, and agree, you know, disagree or agree with me. You don't like to implement it until you know it.
That's absolutely
right. Cause you don't want to install something that if something, you know, God forbid something were to happen, you go back and you're like a monkey scratching the armpit, like, I don't know how to fix this thing because I didn't do the education and learn about this actual product.
Correct.
So you do a lot of digging in, a lot of training. You and your team will do a lot of training into anything that you're going to start implementing within your business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Your slogan at Rob Roy Mechanical, which was created by Kara, is problem detected, challenge accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I love that slogan. I love that slogan. It makes me think of a superhero. but it also makes me think of just your character, right? When I think about how you just embrace challenges and you embrace opportunities to learn, right? So problem detected, challenge accepted. How did that come about?
Right. I'm just tenacious. I won't give up.
Yeah.
Like I love to be the person that I get the call like, hey, we've had other people out here. Nobody can figure this out.
Yes.
Like, I want that call. Mm-hmm. I will figure that out for you. We do have other companies.
A lot of people don't like those calls.
That's very true. Some people don't like those calls. Some people don't want the challenge. I love them. I embrace them. My guy's really good at it. They'll go out there and, you know, we'll talk on the phone, get through everything. And they're really good as well. Getting everything.
Yeah. I got to say, you have a great team at Rob Roy. You know, the guys, you know, me going out and visiting the job sites and taking pictures and stuff like that, they are extremely professional. What I tend to see is how, and what I like to see, right? You never like to see bad interaction with clients, right? You like to see that they're taking, what you have trained them with educating clients and homeowners and stuff like that as well. They take that very seriously. They also do that. So kudos to you with, you know, training and leading in that aspect to make sure that your technicians are given the same experience as if you were the one out there doing the work, right? So a lot of five-star reviews, a lot of five-star reviews from your technicians.
We just hit 200.
You did.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
You as well.
Listen.
I think you found, what, 20 for us?
Yeah, it was like 24, 25 of them. Yeah, we released them from Google Jail. Yeah, they were just sitting there for years. But yeah, so your technicians are phenomenal. The way they communicate with homeowners is amazing. They do a great job. I don't know if you ever get to hear that often. So I wanted to tell you that I see it when I'm out with the boys they're doing a phenomenal job, and they communicate really well with the homeowners, and you could see that. So, but one thing I was leading to there, I kind of lost it for a second, but I'm back now, is you have built a lot of long-term relationships with your clients. How important is it to have long-term relationship with clients, and what do you think is the biggest, the biggest way to build those relationships?
Well, the biggest way to build that, I think, is just honesty, being straightforward with them. You know, I mean, and if you make a mistake, own your mistake. You know, some of our long-term customers, we've had instances where you fix something, it wasn't the right fix, it was misdiagnosed. We own it, and they would never know otherwise, but we always come up front. And my guys know that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a misdiagnosis, sometimes it happens. Just let the customer know. We'll come back and make it right, and don't charge them for what we did wrong. And that really does help build the value when you tell them you made the mistake before they find out you did. So
yeah, that's huge. I think a lot of technicians, even business owners themselves, they have a hard time humbling themselves sometimes, right? Because we can be a very proud industry, right? We build things with our hands. Yep. It's a very like hoorah driven industry and stuff like that. So when there's problems, if there's misdiagnostics, or if there is callbacks or anything like that, it's a quick way to like, I don't know. I guess I look at like as when I was a dispatcher, right? And someone called in like, hey, your technician was just out here, the whole mechanic syndrome, right? Your mechanic just did an oil change and now my tire's low pressure or something like that, right?
Exactly.
It's instantly you get like offended, like no way my technician did this wrong. No way, you know? But it's really good when a company is like humble enough to be like, we don't know what happened. Let's get out there and let's take a look at it. And if it was something on us, then we're not going to charge you for this visit. If it was something else, we're going to educate you and let you know, and we'll still take care of you. We'll make sure that we do this in a professional way and something that's going to be financially pleasing for you as well. Exactly. Right? Because it's tough. I always say, and I think I said on my last podcast too, like people don't call their plumbers to hang out. Right? There's an emergency. There's a problem, or there's a service that needs to be done. So there's already high tension in there. So honesty is huge in this industry, where a lot of business owners that start their own plumbing business, they lack that being humble in a way. You know what I mean? So no, I know that honesty is obviously a big integral value for you. What are a few other values that you hold within Rob Roy Mechanical?
Integrity, standing behind what we do. Valuing the customer's time and their property.
Yeah.
You know, that's very important to you. And just understanding, to your point, nobody ever calls up because they're having a good day. The customer's usually at their worst, so we have to respect that as well.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah, you never know what kind of mood the homeowner is going to be in.
Right.
You don't know who you're coming in behind, what bad experience they had with another plumbing heating company. So it is important to just be humble, be kind, listen. Now trainings, I want to go back to trainings, because I know training is huge for you. Why do you think training, not only on new equipment, but ongoing education, is important in this industry?
So that comes down to a lot of things that we already know are even changing. Like something as simple as boiler water quality. You know, we put in boilers for years, they're water in the boiler, it runs, everything's fine. We're having more and more issues with boiler water quality causing short-term failures on the boiler.
Yeah.
And that's just a result of, you know, things changing, different water sources, and not knowing that's an issue or keeping up with it or letting people know what's going on can cause problems.
Yeah, for sure.
So we like to be ahead of the curve wherever we can be.
Mm-hmm.
So we just had a training with Addy. They came out and gave us some information and guidelines and good products to use.
Yeah.
To put in the boilers.
Are there some times when you have the intention of using a product, you have a training, and you have that training, then you're just like, maybe this isn't the product for me?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not like, let it go out in the world for a while, see how it does before you jump on it.
Mm-hmm.
Some things are a little more risky than others.
Yeah.
And if, from my point of view, I don't want to like experiment with the customer. I want to know I'm putting in a good product. I want to do some research. You know, sometimes it might be new here, but it's been in Europe for decades.
Mm.
So I'll do my research and see if it's been out there, if there's been problems. I'm active on a lot of forums, kind of like learning from other plumbers across the country, across the world.
Yeah.
So sometimes like I'll know about a problem before the guys see it out in the field,
because
I've seen it online before.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And how many trainings do you think, like, on average, you do a year? Now, this isn't just like, hey, we had a company, quick company meeting. I'm going to train you for 10 minutes on something. Like, you have people come in, you do a training, either yourself that's dedicated to this product, or you have sales reps come in to train specifically on this product. How often are you having those type of trainings with your team?
Say on average, probably about 6 a year. Every couple months, we're doing something.
Okay. Now, and you'll do refreshers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, have Burnham come in with new equipment and stuff like that. Yeah, you guys know how to install a boiler, but here's some new tricks and tips and stuff like that. So that ongoing education is also important. Why do you feel that even the ongoing stuff is important?
Well, the regulations are changing all the time.
Mm.
You know, like the efficiencies are changing, how they're making the boilers are changing. So if you're not keeping up with that, if you're putting in this year's model boiler and you didn't get trained on it, there could be a difference you're not aware of. And that could be a disadvantage to the customer if you're not installing the boiler right.
Yeah.
So you always want to make sure you're keeping up with what the products are doing, so you're putting it into the manufacturer's standard and code standards.
Yeah, that's good. How often do codes change in New Hampshire?
Right now, we're on a 3-year cycle. So every 3 years, they change at a state level.
Mm.
And the towns can make regulations or change things kind of when they want to.
Interesting. Yeah. So, is it usually just like minor tweaks and stuff like that? Or is it like some big changes where you're like, hey, listen, we need to reevaluate how we're doing this altogether because the code just changed?
When it's a code update, like every 3 years, that can be a pretty big change. When it's the towns make adoptions, it's usually pretty small.
Yeah.
Just something within their town they want specifically, and it's pretty easy to accommodate that.
So how do you keep on top of those code changes? Is there a specific site that you go to? Are you on like an email blast? Do they just randomly reach out to every HVAC plumbing company? Or how do you keep up with it?
So if you want, you can go on their website ahead of time, see what there's any regulations. You can also go on the New Hampshire Code Review Board website. Mm. And all the towns will upload their code regulations up there.
Yeah.
So you can have an idea. And when you're pulling the permit, it's always good to talk to the inspector. Let him know what you're doing. See if there's anything he wants done.
Yeah.
That way you're kind of ahead of it. Make sure you're on the same page with the inspectors. Mm.
So you have to be proactive with it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be making sure, like, hey, all right, this is the year 3. Let's make sure there's no major code changes. If there is, let's train our team on what just changed this year. Let's get updated books, whatever the case may be. You're actively seeking that and making sure you're up to code and standards.
Yes. And awesome. I mean, all the guys, we're all licensed. So every year you need 3 hours of education in plumbing and 3 years for gas.
Gotcha.
So they cover all that as well. But I'm always looking forward as well, keeping them up on anything that's changed.
Do the trainings that you have, those 6 trainings in a year, does any of those go towards that educational training for the guys that they need for the state?
Nope.
That 3 years?
It's all about
so it's something
that.
Something even more that you need to make sure that your team is doing. Gotcha. How often do you go out in the field to, I guess, not to run a call yourself, but to go out and do on-site training with the technicians if they're running into issues?
Maybe once or twice a month.
Yeah. But you're always available. They need you. That's something I know about you. You're always available. Your phone is always blowing up. Even before this meeting, we had to go turn your phone off and put it in the corner so it wasn't distracting you, because you're probably going to have 25 missed calls by the time you leave this interview.
It's a good possibility.
Yeah. with you being at Rob Roy Mechanical, you know, like I said before, you have a great team, great leadership. You and Kara are doing a phenomenal job. What are some things that, I guess, with you going out on your own, doing your own thing and stuff like that, what are some things that you wanted to see differently in your business that you wanted to make sure you implemented that you felt is maybe something missing in the industry?
Probably the technology that we use, like the way we verify everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you put in a piece of equipment, turn on the boiler, everything runs, but then we like to verify everything's running right. Check your pump flow rates, check the temperatures and everything, make sure it's working, go through the house, verify the system as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with the furnace, checking every room to make sure the CFM is right per room, the system's balanced out right, and it's going to work for a long time.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. It's, now, I don't know the industry like you do, so I don't know if that's something just that should be standard for any plumbing heating company, going out and making sure that there's work. But I'm sure there are companies out there that probably have stacked calls behind them. They're getting all nervous. They're trying to finish that call, and they got to get out of there. right? And they're not maybe doing all the necessary steps to make sure that everything that they just worked on is going to work properly. So it's good to see, it's good to hear, you know, you and your team are making sure that everything that you do is done properly. And that probably helps with those long-term relationships we were talking about earlier, because people see the value behind what you're doing, right? And you're making sure that it's done 100% properly. So that's great for you. Are there any other, what are some obstacles you run into with running your own business? That let's say I'm getting ready to start my own plumbing and heating company. I'm like, Rob, what are two things you can tell me right now to avoid?
Probably trying to grow too fast. You know, you want to really start off small and get yourself established before you go too big.
Yeah.
And just having some way of generating calls, like a good marketing company, a good online presence.
Yeah.
That's huge. You yeah. want the organic work to come in.
For sure.
Word of mouth and somebody like Mighty Media to get everything.
Wait, you work. Use Mighty Media Solutions for your marketing? Oh my gosh. Tell me about, how has that been going?
Phenomenal. So we've had other marketing companies in the past.
Yeah.
And they always start off great. And then kind of like you fade off into the distance.
Yeah.
And I think you're probably more persistent now than the beginning. So you're more of the opposite. Not that you're ever not there in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've never faded away, which is
for sure.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, we can only grow, right? We can only grow.
Yep.
And that's, like I said before, I love going out to your team and visiting the guys. And, you know, they were a little camera shy at first.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of you guys were.
Of course.
But it's fun to see, like, when I'm showing up to the job sites now, how they just expect it. And you can see them, like, just like combing their hair real quick and getting ready, getting picture ready and stuff like that. So,
awesome.
If you don't follow Rob Roy Mechanical, do that on social media. You can find them on Instagram and on Facebook as well. So before I had you come on today, I went into the Breaking the Mold Facebook group and I asked if anyone had any questions for you. And we had Clark. You know Clark.
I do.
Yeah, he was just on. He was just on a few weeks ago. He had a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when do you know when it's time to hire another technician?
When you can't keep up with the work and you're booked out for a good amount of time. Like if you can be in your slow season or what we consider a slow season and you're still not keeping up, you're probably ready for another technician.
What's considered the slow season? It's generally like coming up, right?
It is coming up. Like after Christmas up until around the end of tax season, tends to be a little bit slower. It's more emergency based than anything else.
Yeah. So at the beginning of the year, you kind of evaluating the company. I know you are actively hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kind of evaluating at the beginning of the year, or is it something that you're evaluating all year to see, hey, I think we need to hire somebody here?
Yeah, all the time. We're always evaluating that.
Yeah. I feel when you hire Mighty Media Solutions, you're always going to need to hire because we're just going to keep you slammed with calls.
There was a dramatic difference in our calls.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear.
From being booked out for maybe a week to almost 3 weeks out.
That's awesome.
Pretty consistently.
Yeah. And it's tough to be, especially in this industry, to be booked out. I guess, what would you say is the cutoff to being like, this is too far booked out. We're losing clients here.
I'd say 2 to 3 weeks really is that. I mean, people really would like, you know, when they call, they're kind of looking for instant gratification.
Right.
Which is totally understandable.
Which is the world we live in right now, right? They're awesome. So, even if it's not an emergency, they want it done this week.
Correct. So we have to put a lot of thought into, okay, well, you can probably, you know, based on what you're saying, can we really like wait a couple weeks to get you on the schedule so that when the emergencies are coming in, we have a little bit of availability. We have really good customers that they're absolutely understanding of that. But that comes down to the explaining.
Right.
So not just, hey, we're going to book you out 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Here's why we'd like to put you out 2 weeks.
Yeah.
If you can wait the 2 weeks.
Right. For sure. How often do you feel you need to reschedule clients?
Not very often. We try and put people on the schedule and keep them there.
Yeah. So. Do you leave gaps in your schedule for emergencies?
We try to.
Yeah.
They fill up very quick, though.
For sure.
So unless, like, if a guy gets stuck on the call in the morning, that's usually when we're rescheduling. For the most part, we keep the schedule going pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it's important, right? It's important to dispatch properly, right? Mm-hmm. Dwayne's doing a great job. He's keeping the guys busy. He's moving them along. But you do have those emergencies that come in, right? So it's like trying to go through. And I always try to say, like, right, when I was managing a call center and a dispatch team and stuff, it's like, listen, if there's an emergency that comes in, don't panic.
Right.
I'm sure there's a nice, kind person out there that won't mind if you reschedule their call, right? If we have a packed schedule, we have 20 calls on the board, we have a broken down water heater that's gushing, we need to get out to there, don't panic. And I always say, just call. Just call the clients today and say, hey, listen, I have an emergency today. Is there any chance that you'd be willing to move your appointment to tomorrow? And if they say no, they say no. Then you just leave them there.
Exactly.
Then you just leave them there. But it's hard to believe that one person, I've never really ran into the issue where one person was like, yeah, absolutely. I work from home all week. So that's no problem if you come out and do my clean and tune tomorrow instead.
Exactly. Right?
Yes, I can wait. There's nothing wrong. Move my schedule. Dispatchers are so quick to get real nervous, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh man, I'm going to really make somebody mad. You're going to make somebody mad when you call and demand them and tell them you have to move them and they have no option and you have no empathy.
Right.
Right. It's all having that empathy with your client and then just saying, hey, listen, I'm so sorry this has to happen. Cause sometimes that does happen, right? You have to move somebody that has no other option, but having that empathy, goes a long way mm-hmm. without just being like, hey, listen, Mrs. Smith, you're moving. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if you're 87 years old, you're moving, having that empathy and all that stuff. But man, I've never really ran into that problem managing a team where there wasn't somebody that could be flexible with their schedule. Even a technician being flexible with their schedule with saying, hey, yeah, I can run that call later today.
Exactly.
Or you'll probably just end up going out there and running the call.
That does happen.
Yeah, I bet it does. Right. You can't stay away from getting out there no matter how hard you try.
Now, we were, for a while, Karen and I were doing midnight water heaters all the time.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. You guys would go out there. I've even been out to jobs with you guys over to the workout club doing work over there. Mm-hmm. You guys aren't shy with getting your hands dirty and getting out there. You're very hands-on when it comes to leading your team. If there is a company that is an established company, been in business for a few years now, what would you recommend to kind of help them get to the next level, right? So they have a couple trucks and they're just stuck. They can't grow at all. What would you recommend that they do?
I mean, honestly, this isn't a shameless plug, but advertising.
Yeah.
You know, although it's really,
I don't mind the shameless plug.
It comes to, if you're not putting your name out there, you're not known out there. People go on social media and they feel like they already know our guys before they get out there.
Yeah.
You see a lot of successful plumbers now, one-man shows. They're very charismatic, very good on social media. People love that.
Mm-hmm.
People going on social media, they see them, they feel comfortable. They've already got that little bit of connection. Makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and I've actually heard that. I was at a call with Dimitri and Mike, and I was talking to the homeowner because I asked, like, hey, how did you hear about Rob Roy Mechanical? And they said, oh, we saw them on social media. And she said, Dimitri, because he was in the room with us, Mike wasn't, so she didn't bring him up. She's like, Dimitri is exactly the person that I see on social media. Mm-hmm. The guy that's just smiling, very kind, very polite. He's the exact person I see on your social media posts. And obviously, my heart like grew two sizes bigger, like the Grinch. I was like, oh, that's so good to hear. Yep. Because that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to build trust within the community so they know what they're expecting and they know who they're expecting to have. Right. So it's right. Like they feel that bond, that relationship, that connection with your technician before your technician even pulls into the driveway. Right. So that's absolutely that was great to hear. And thank you for that shameless plug. Yeah. I appreciate that.
We've had a customer or two call up like, hey, is this guy work for you still? Can you send him? I've seen him on social media.
That's so funny.
People are
that's
following.
Awesome.
And yeah, they kind of like they feel a rapport with that person just from being online and seeing online.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Anything else that you would want to add or, throw out to the people that are potentially listening to watching this podcast that's in the industry? What kind of advice would you give these guys to kind of close out this interview?
If you're starting a business or you're in a business, be persistent. Sometimes, like, if you make a change, it doesn't work right away, but it will work if you're doing the right things and putting the right energy into it.
Yeah.
You know, nothing changes fast.
Mm.
It takes a little bit to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, don't lose hope.
Right, exactly.
Don't lose hope.
Yeah, don't make a change that all of a sudden work and stop. Just see it through and let it run its course. And
yeah.
Not every change works, but you got to give it time to see if it does or doesn't.
Yeah. Hard times won't last.
Correct.
Right? That's a great tip of advice. Anything else you want to add? Now's the time. You have the mic.
I do. Oh, there's so much I like could. I'm just trying to think of what the best best way to go. I mean, just keeping up with technology, you know, is one of the things that we're really proud of.
Yeah.
Like, we have software, so if a technician's on a job and they're working on an air conditioner and it's not making sense, they can actually live stream the instrument data to me.
Wow.
Or to another technician, for that matter, to get advice. Or to a manufacturer, for that matter.
Yeah.
So just kind of having the right tools in place and making sure the guys have the latest technology as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
awesome. As well as having the analog stuff. I mean, you always want to have a backup, but just knowing what resources are out there to be used to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great, man. That's it. That's a wrap, dude. I appreciate you coming on the Breaking the Mold podcast.
I appreciate being here.
Rob Roy, the legend, right here live with us. Thank you very much, dude. Appreciate you. Thank you all for tuning in. God bless. Have a great day. Go out there and kill it.